And if you would open your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 11, and we're going to read. So if you have your Bible, you can just follow along. If not, you can just focus and concentrate on what I'm reading. Now faith has been sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. By faith, we understand that the universe was formed at God's command so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. By faith, Abel brought God a better offering than Cain did. By faith, he was commended as righteous when God spoke well of his offerings. And by faith, Abel still speaks even though he is dead. By faith, Enoch was taken from this life so that he did not experience death. He could not be found because God had taken him away. For before he was taken, he was commended as one who pleased God. And this is how you please God. And without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him, that's to God, must believe, number one, that he exists, and number two, that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. By faith, Noah, when warned about things not yet seen, in holy fear built an ark to save his family. By faith, he condemned the world and became heir of the righteous that is in keeping with faith. By faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. By faith, he made his home in the promised land like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in a tent, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to a city with foundations, whose architect and builder is God. And by faith, even Sarah, who was past childbearing age, was enabled to bear children because she considered him faithful who had made the promise. And so from this one man, and he as good as dead, came descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as countless as the sand of the sea. Verse 17, by faith, Abraham, when tested him, God tested him, offered Isaac as a sacrifice. He who had embraced the promises was about to sacrifice his one and only son, even though God had said to him, it is through Isaac that your offspring will be reckoned. Abraham reasoned that God could even raise the dead, and so in a manner of speaking, he did receive Isaac back from the dead. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau in regard to the future. By faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed each of Joseph's sons. Verse 22. By faith, Joseph, when his end was near, spoke about the exodus of the Israelites from Egypt and gave instructions concerning the burial of his bones. By faith, Moses' parents hid him for 3 months after he was born because they saw he was no ordinary child and they were not afraid of the king's edict. Verse 29, by faith the people passed through the Red Sea on dry land, even when the Egyptians tried to do so, they were drowned. By faith the walls of Jericho fell after the army had marched around them. Verse 32, and what more shall I say? I do not have time to tell about Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah and David and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice, gained what was promised, who shut the mouths of lions, quenched the fury of the flames, and escaped the edge of the sword, whose weakness was turned into strength, and who became powerful in battle and routed foreign armies. Women received back their dead, raised to life again. There were others who were tortured, refusing to be released so that they might gain an even better resurrection. Some faced jeers and floggings and even chains and imprisonment. They were put to death by stoning. They were sawed in two. They were killed by the sword. They went about in sheepskins and goatskins, destitute, persecuted, mistreated. The world was not worthy of them. They wandered in deserts and mountains and in caves and holes in the ground. These were all commended for their faith. Yet none of them received what had been promised. God had planned something even better for us, so that only together with us would they be made perfect. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, that's such an amazing chapter. And Lord, as we look at it, I just ask that we would understand what you're saying to us this morning, Lord, and that we would be encouraged by what we hear, and that we would not just be hearers of your word, but doers also. So we give this to you now, and we do so in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Confidence, trust, belief. These are some of the words which we might use when we're talking about the concept of faith. And in case you're wondering, all of us have faith. We hurtle down the road in our car. The strip of tarmac is a relatively narrow strip of tarmac. A car comes hurtling towards us. We just keep going. You see, we have faith. Faith to believe that the car is actually going to stay on each side of the road. And tell me, how many of us check to see if the cockpit has a pilot in the plane when we get on? Clearly that young lady is not doing that. We don't, because we have faith. We have faith to believe there is a pilot there. Oh, we might say, I'm a skeptic. But in fact, we all have a measure of faith. What simply changes is the object of our faith. We have faith in the airlines to always put a pilot in the cockpit. We have faith in the others' drivers believing that they actually don't want a head-on collision as much as we don't want a head-on collision. The object of our faith is different. But faith is faith. We believe what we cannot see. We cannot see the driver of the other car. And even if we could, we have no idea of his or her competence. Ditto for the pilot. And even if we knew that there was a pilot in the cockpit, we take the level of competence on trust. And that brings us to the Christian faith. When we are Christians, all of us, our initial encounter with faith is what I want to call faith for salvation. In other words, our initial encounter with faith is that we believe that God loved the world so much that he gave his only son so that each one who believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. This is faith for salvation. Faith in what God has done in the past for us. And further, to believe that all who did receive him, to those who believed on his name, he gave the right to become children of God. This means that we believe that some 2,100 years ago, Jesus died. And we believe that when he died, 2,100 years ago, he died to pay the penalty which I should be paying because it was my rebellion. And when I accept that past act of God in faith, I become part of the family of God. All that requires faith. Faith in the truth and reality of a past event. Jesus' death and resurrection. But a past event that has enormous implications for us today. We are saved because we believe in a past event. This is what I call faith for salvation, based on what God has done for us in the past. But then we come to Hebrews chapter 11. And even those of us with just a passing knowledge of Scripture will tell you that this is the chapter in the Bible on faith, and it is. And it opens like this. Now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. Now that is something of a definition. But that particular definition focuses on an aspect of faith which is relevant to the context of this letter. Now it's a long letter. It's 13 chapters. It's longer than kind of maybe another letter we might think of, but it is a letter. Let's not forget that the book of Hebrews is a letter. It's a letter that is written to Christians primarily from a Jewish background, and this letter is written to these Christians from a Jewish background with the problem of them struggling with their Christian walk. The letter is written to address these Jewish Christians who were in danger of giving up their Christian faith and reverting back to Judaism. And there are a couple of reasons why they were in this place. You see, not only had they missed the symbolism and the ritual of their Jewish faith, they just loved those kinds of things. But the other reason is that when they left the Jewish fold and embrace Christianity, they no longer had state recognition and protection. The Jewish faith had a special place in the Roman system. It was regarded as religio licita. I've spoken about that the other day. It was a legal religion. And so it was afforded some protection. Jews were afforded protection. But when they embraced Jesus as their Messiah, they became part of a marginalized and a despised and even a persecuted minority. These Jewish Christians, they had demonstrated faith for salvation, faith in what Jesus had done for them in the past. The trouble was that now they were faced with the challenge of daily living. They were faced with the challenge of keeping going as Christians when they faced hardship, which of course is what all of us as Christians face. We face the challenge of keeping going in the face of hardship after the emotion of our initial conversion wears off. Faith for salvation wasn't their problem. Faith for daily living was their problem. And this is what this faith chapter in the book of Hebrews is all about. It's about faith for daily living. So this letter is written to Christians who needed encouragement to keep going. And as we go back to chapter 10, we see that the author of this letter, by the way, we don't know who the author was. We see that the author has already given the answer to this challenge, the righteous. In other words, those who've accepted Jesus. Those who have demonstrated faith for salvation. The righteous will continue to live by faith. There it is again, faith. We need faith in what Jesus has done to become part of the family of God. But faith remains important. Seems we still need faith if we are to keep going. What kind of faith? Well, we are told it's a faith that is sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. Can you see that it is not a faith that looks back to what Jesus has done? It's a faith about what is hoped for. It's a faith that is about us believing to be real what we cannot yet see. And this kind of faith, the faith that is sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see, this kind of faith has always been necessary to deal with the hardships we face as being Christians. Look, this is what the ancients, those righteous people of old, this is what they were commended for. God commended these ancient God followers for this kind of forward-looking faith, faith for daily living. And so the author starts to discuss this faith, but he starts talking about this faith in a more general sense. And the first example he uses is Abel. He compares Abel and Cain. There he speaks about that time, and we can read it in the book of Genesis, where both of them were performing an act of worship. Both of them were coming with the offering. The one offering is accepted, the other one wasn't. What was the difference? There was only one difference. It wasn't about the one bringing meat and the other one bringing cereal. It wasn't about that. It was by faith Abel was commended as righteous when God spoke well of his offerings. What kind of faith did Abel have? Well, we will be told the kind of faith he had in verse 6. Abel simply came believing that God existed and that God rewards those who earnestly seek him. That was it. That made the difference. That at some future time, Abel believed God would bring his own reward. To the a future-looking faith. Our next example is Enoch. By faith, Enoch was taken from this life so that he did not experience death. He could not be found because God had taken him away. For before he was taken, he was commended as one who pleased God. How did Enoch please God? We know that without faith, it is impossible to please God. Do you see that? Enoch pleased God because he had faith. And that faith by which he pleased God was the same kind of faith by which Abel pleased God. Enoch believed that God existed and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. Enoch and Abel had a double conviction. They had a conviction, number one, that God existed. They had a conviction, number two, that the final reward was in God's hands. We all need that kind of faith for daily living, where we believe that God exists and that our final reward is in God's hands. But now it starts to get really interesting, because here the letter writer starts to expand on that picture of the faith we need if we are going to keep going when things get tough. He starts to expand on faith for daily living. And so we look at our next example, the example of Noah. God comes to Noah, asks him to do something really weird. He says, Noah, I want you to build a huge boat. And I want you to build it right here on dry land. I want you to build it right here where there's no indication of water. And Noah, I want you to do it based solely on my word, that at some future date, I, God, am going to bring a flood to the earth. And Noah, if you and your family want to live, you better have that boat built. And there we see clearly the emphasis on faith for daily living, the future. Noah's faith in God, he's being sure of what he hoped for, being certain of what he could not see. Noah's faith in God means that Noah believed God's promise for the future to such an extent that it impacted on his behavior today. I am going to bring the flood, Noah. This world, as you know it, will be judged and destroyed. But here's my promise, Noah. You will be saved through the ark that you will build if you build it. Noah was sure of what he hoped for, salvation from the flood. And he was certain of what he did not see, that God would bring the flood, with the result that, by faith, Noah, when warned about these things not yet seen, in holy fear, built an ark to save his family. That promised future event impacted on Noah's behavior today. Faith for daily living. Here's one more example, which is even more obvious. Abraham. By faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as an inheritance, he obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. God called Abraham. God told Abraham, leave all that is familiar to you and go. And God didn't even bother to tell Abraham where he was going to. He said, later I'll show you. And with that information, Abraham went. Somehow he knew enough about God to have a sense that God was trustworthy, and based on whatever evidence or information that he had, Abraham was convinced, number one, that God exists, and number two, that God would in due time reward him. In other words, Abraham demonstrated a faith that pleased God, and so being sure of what he hoped for and certain of what he did not see, in faith, Abraham set out. Again, we see it. Abraham's faith in God's promise for the future impacted on Abraham's behavior today. That is faith for daily living. Faith in a future that impacts on our behavior today. Faith for a daily living. If you didn't know the story of Abraham, well, you can read it for yourself in Genesis. And as you read that, you'll see that Abraham's journey was not an easy one. Several times Abraham reached the point where he wanted to give up, because several times his faith failed him. And at those times, all God gave him was a repeat of that promise, I will give you the land to which I'm taking you. You see, the faith we need for daily living is a faith that focused on what is promised for the future. That's the faith for daily living. It's focused on what is coming. Now, that applied to Abraham, but it applies to us as well, because right here we see that Abraham's journey became a picture of our faith journey. Because we are told that Abraham was looking forward to the city with foundations whose architect and builder is God. I'm going to take you to a land. But Abraham was actually looking for more than the promised land. And if you understand that in those days, the city was seen as a center of culture, the city was regarded as a place where the most meaningful life was found, we can understand that biblically speaking, to speak of a city in those days was a good way of referring to the ideal existence of God's people. The city for which Abraham was looking was a city whose foundations would last for eternity, because the city with foundations whose architect and builder is God. That's ultimately what Abraham was looking for, beyond the promised land. Abraham had a vision that went beyond the promised land, and it was his faith, being sure of what he hoped for, certain of what he did not see. It was that faith that kept him going through difficult times. Faith for daily living. On and on the chapter goes, talking about people who faced horrendous times, and yet their faith for daily living, their belief that the future God had promised was real, it was faith that kept them going. That is the purpose of this chapter, to talk about faith for daily living. The faith we need for daily living is a faith that is sure of what is hoped for, certain of what is unseen. It's a faith that was modeled by the ancient people of God, who kept believing, even though they were put to death by stoning, even though they were sawn in two, even though they ended up being killed by the sword, were destitute, persecuted, mistreated. They wandered in deserts and mountains and in caves and holes in the ground. These were all commended for their faith. Yet none of them received what had been promised. God had planned something better. The faith for daily living is a faith that looks forward to what God has planned for us. It's what those who have exercised faith in salvation, we've done that. It's this faith that we need to remain faithful day by day. Which brings us to the question, what is your understanding of what God has planned for us? What do you understand? What is your belief concerning what God has planned for us? Is your vision of what God has planned for us sufficiently motivating to keep us going through hard times? And if it isn't, because all you can picture is that eternal church service, that's not enough. It's not enough. You've got to have a better theology of eternity than that. And even if your theology of heaven is adequate, is your God sufficient for faith? Is your God big enough to inspire faith? Yes, that's what I'm hoping for. But is your God big enough to believe, I know that he will make sure that I get there? That means you are sure of what you hope for and certain of what you do not see. Is your God big enough to inspire that sort of confidence? And your relationship with God, do you really and truly believe that God exists and that your reward is in his hands? Do you believe that? Which brings us to the last question. How do we cultivate that sort of faith? And I must emphasize the word cultivate. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8, we are told that faith is a gift from God. He has given us faith. So we can't manufacture faith. All we can do is cultivate it. We can cultivate it. We can grow the faith that God has given to us. Our job is to cultivate it. How do we cultivate it? Well, you cultivate it by doing exactly what you're doing now, exposing yourself to the Bible teaching. You do it by spending time with God, quietly praying, reading the Bible. In fact, let me make it really simple. Let me reduce it to the absolute basics. How do you cultivate a faith? Everything you do to cultivate a relationship with a person you love is what you do to cultivate this faith. That's simple. It's practical. It's what we do. Because ultimately, you will not trust someone you don't know. And if you love a person, you're going to get to know that person. And the better you know that person, the more faithful you experience that person to be, the easier it is going to be to trust that person. What do people do to cultivate love for a spouse? You do that with Jesus, and you'll find that you are cultivating faith. A faith for daily living, because you believe that I'm hoping for that. I can't see it, but I'm hoping for it. But I believe that my God is going to get me through. Faith for daily living. Let's spend a few moments just quietly thinking about this, shall we? Father, I pray that you would teach us to lift our eyes to what you have promised, not in order to avoid the responsibilities of today, but Lord, to give us a different perspective, to give us strength to continue through today, because we know that tomorrow is sure. It's coming. And it is true that eye has not seen nor entered into our imagination what you have prepared for us. But Lord, that verse goes on to say, yet you have revealed some of it to us through your word. So Lord, we can get excited about what you have prepared for us. And Lord, that is what kept the ancients going. That's what's kept people down through to millennia of church history going through horrendous times. The belief that you have prepared a place for us and you will ensure that we get there. Help us to fall in love with you again. Help us to do all that we can do and need to do to cultivate that love relationship, because in doing that we are cultivating this faith for daily living. Help us in these things, Father. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.